Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is
Holy.
Holy. What's his name?
Holy.
What's the first name of the Holy Ghost?
Holy.
Okay, it's his name. All right? Holy Ghost. Well, his name is Holy. I dwell in the high and what?
Holy,
holy place. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. So God is dwelling in a specific place. Is it a low place? It's a high place. You wonder why you're being called up, and you're always called up, and you're always being called to a greater and higher thing. Where are you being called to? To where he is. You're being called to the high and what?
Holy
place. We're going to get into this word holy a little bit more this morning. You're not one of those holiness preachers, are you? Yes, more and more so. And so will you be as you get closer and closer to the Spirit of the living God and walking with him. Why would that be? Because you're walking with him and his name is holy. And people will probably criticize you for not doing things that you used to do, which was okay yesterday, but now today it's just not okay anymore. It's not acceptable. Why? Because you're walking closer with the high and holy one. Pull with me this morning, because we have a place where we can go and it's really good. In fact, it's high and holy. High and holy, not low. We're going to see just how extreme God is today. Today. And this is why, you know, you got to be on. You got to be committed to going here. There's certain places that you can't get to unless you're committed to go there. You go out onto an island. You're going to just go to an island today? Out in the middle of Casco Bay or wherever? You got to commit to getting there. You either got to have a boat, or you got to get on a boat, or you got to swim, and that's even more commitment. There's certain places that you don't have to be too committed to go to Subway. In fact, you can be on the way there and decide to go to Billy's Cracker Shop or something. Doesn't take much commitment. But there's certain things in God that you've got to be committed to get there, because there's going to be things that block your path. Remember the book Pilgrim's Progress? Were the things that block the pilgrim's progress. All kinds of little bumps in the road. Are there going to be bumps in your road? Are there going to be things that try to veer you from the left and to the right and to push you off in the ditch? The way is narrow and compressed by pressure, the Bible said. I think it says it in the Amplified. The way is narrow and compressed. Well, God dwells in the high and holy place with him also who was of a contrite and humble spirit. I looked up this word contrite, and it really literally means to be crushed to powder. That doesn't sound good, does it? But that's the kind of people that are going to make it through. They walk with the high and walk and live in the high. Do you want to walk and live in the high and holy place? Maybe you don't. Maybe you like to live in the low and mostly holy place. Semi-holy, partially holy place with holes in it. Okay, so where are we going? The high and holy place. Brother, that sounds scary. It is scary. I've been getting scared recently in my prayer closet. And then it's been a while since I've been scared in there. What do you mean? I'll share that with you in a minute. Let's read on here. Go to Titus 2:14. Was it scary in the book of Acts when Ananias and Sapphira were messing around, saying, oh yeah, we're something special? But they were lying to God. They were lying to the Holy Ghost. Well, how far did it get them? About 6 feet under, right? You know what excites me? The presence of God. And the power of God, and knowing him. And that's what I find that there's an increase in. And I'm convinced, more convinced today than I was yesterday, that this is the way to not only just win our neighbors, this is the way to win the whole area. What else do you need to win the whole? We cannot win the whole area with our plans. We can't do it with our programs. We can't even do it with our advertising schemes. What's going to do it? The glory of the Lord filling the earth as the waters cover the sea. People living with him in the high and holy place so that he can manifest himself. I'm excited about this. Whether anybody likes it or not, whether anybody likes me or not. I don't know. I guess I'm not. I've never really, you know, applied myself to that very much. The concern of whether people like me or not. Maybe I should. I don't know. But in the spirit, it doesn't matter. And I find, do you find that too? That sometimes when you get over, when you make that step over into God's world, in the spirit world, and in the power of God, it's as if your inhibitions just step aside. That's why people will dance around. That's why people will fall. Do you care when you're falling out? Do you care when the presence of God? No, I don't care. I don't care who's there. I don't care if I'm drooling on myself. This will take the edge off society when the Holy Ghost comes in and no one will care when they're repenting right there at a stoplight. They don't care if the people behind them are all backed up and beeping their horns. Beep away. I'm in the presence of God. Hallelujah. The things of the earth grow strangely dim. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem who? Us from all iniquity. That's amazing. Can this be true? All iniquity. All of it. He came to redeem us from what?
Except for the ones we like to hide and store away in the closet.
No. Burn the closet. How about that? Who gave himself for us? Is this right? That he might redeem us. Redeem. What is there any? It's to buy back from. Did he just buy you back from one sin? The one little sin that might keep you out of heaven? Or does it say all sin? He's going to redeem you from the sin, which means he's redeeming you from the effects of all that sin. You people here. And purify unto who? He's going to purify. He's going to, number one, redeem you, which he already did that. By the blood of Jesus, redeemed you, paid the price for all sin, not only yours, but your neighbors and everybody else, right? He redeemed you. He paid the price. Now he's going to do what? Purify you unto your neighbor, unto a doctrine, unto the church, unto what it is to be a nice Christian. Frankly, if you do this, you won't be a nice Christian. You'll be a burning flame of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. He's purifying you unto what? And this is where we've missed it a lot of times. Because we have a seeker-friendly message that says you get saved, once saved, always saved, and then you die and you go to heaven, and there's nothing else that goes. No, he's purifying you right now unto himself. Well, we have to have an understanding of who God is so we can know what we're being purified unto. Does this make sense? He dwells in the high and holy place. He's purifying you unto himself so that you can walk, live with him. Does he have a nice house? Does he drive a nice car? It's on fire, man. It's a chariot of fire. How many of you light your car on fire? Does it look good afterwards? It needs to be purified a little bit more. God's is so pure, he can light it on fire and ride in it at the same time and enjoy it. What are we being purified unto? And most people, right, in most churches, we'll try not to do it here, but in most people, we're not trying to purify someone unto our particular brand of understanding. We're not trying to purify someone unto our way of thinking about something. He's a person. We're being purified unto himself. Which means you need to be walking with him, and I got news for you, he's a lot more holy and high than any of our doctrines. What is he purifying? Your mind, your body, everything about you. What about your money? And I'm going to take you there. What about all of these things, your associations, everything? He says he's purifying you unto himself, or what? You're going to like this. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. Peculiar, bringing beyond the usual. Now remember, he's purifying you to himself. Is God beyond the usual? Does God live beyond the usual? Does he have to worry about the swine flu and the bird flu and flu season? He's beyond the usual. Do we see? We're starting to see this. So we're being purified unto something that's holy and high. Does it make you high and holy? You're so high and holy. Well, yeah, but not in the context of I'm arrogant because I think I'm so high and holy, but I'm being purified unto his holiness, unto his highness. Say highness. Hallelujah. Good works. Distinguished acts. Zealous of distinguished acts. Now, is God zealous of distinguished acts? Does he do distinguished acts? Distinguished means they're set apart. There's something only he can do. Do we know this? That God does things that only he can do. Well, we're supposed to be zealous of these things that only God can do. And why would that be? Because we're walking with him. We're set apart. We're being refined and purified and brought to a place where we're living in his highness and his holiness, and we're zealous of the same good works. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Doing good. Who did he go about with, by the way? The Holy Ghost. His name is holy. He dwelt with him. The high and holy one. Well, glory to God. Welcome to church anyway. Unto him, unto his greatness, unto his way of thinking. Does God think different? Remember, he said, forsake your low thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we're encumbered daily, right? We have the opportunity daily to think all of these lower thoughts when we can think higher about you, higher about someone else, higher about the things of God. Where are we supposed to live and operate, move in this high and holy way? Who is he purifying and bringing you to? Himself. What's that make you? A peculiar person. Peculiar to the world. Just recently, again, and this has happened to me before, but even recently in a more profound way, in my time of praying, I go up in the attic and I pray there. And I had the presence of God come in the room in a way, personally, in a person. Can you, yeah, we can handle this. He comes in there and he scares me. And I kind of likened it to, you know, if you met someone who was you really respected and is extremely powerful and wealthy, and he's like, right? Wouldn't you be a little nervous to go to their house about how you're going to act? Wouldn't you? I would, you know, or if, you know, we'll even use the president, for example. If you're going to the president and all these other dignitaries and stuff, you'd be, you know, you make sure you brush your teeth before you go. And everything would be just so, and you'd spend a little extra time doing, right? Because you're a little bit scared. I remember with Kenneth Hagin, I had roommates that just go up to him and hug him, and I'm like, I can't hug him. He scares me. You know, and it wasn't that he scares me like that, but it's almost like I respected him too much to go up and communicate with him on that level of, hi, how you doing? You know, my roommate was just one of these, say hi to everybody, go, Dad, you know, I go, I'm hugging him, I don't know, hey. So I'm there praying, you know, and I'm praying and worshiping God, and all of a sudden, his presence comes in the room in a way that scared me. He got so close and was so there, I almost tried to ignore it. Like, as in, you know, yes, I worship you, I worship you. But in a way, I'm like, I worship you, don't squish me. And the weight, oh my God, the weight of his presence. And this was the overwhelming sense that I had was the weight. You know, and it's hard to describe things in the spirit, but the weight, it literally could have crushed anything. If he just moved a little bit, it would crush something. Like if you had a big giant block up here of lead, maybe a 6x6 square block of lead. If you just pulled it a little ways to the side, what would it do to the floor? It would dig it, it would ruin it. Well, here's this giant weight of God, so powerful, it could really hurt people. Do you understand? Did it hurt Ananias and Sapphira? They died because, and I think this is the thing, is we don't understand really who we're dealing with. We're being called to a high, powerful, weighty, that's the word glory. The root word of glory is weight. That's what it means. We're being called to this glorious, weighty, high, and holy place, and we dwell with him. This is serious. And that was the thing that I think struck me the most. This is serious. You mean you weren't serious before that? You know, there's realms of seriousness. Isaiah, do you think he was serious when he was caught up into heaven and he saw God and he said, holy, holy, that's all he could say? And he said, woe unto me, I dwell with a people of unclean lips. Well, Isaiah, I'm sure, was living a pretty decent life, right? He was a prophet. He was doing what he was supposed to do. But even in the presence of God, the weightiness and the strength of God scared him. Brother, you trying to scare people? I guess. It's called the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. And we like to say, yes, the reverential fear. No, the fear. This is serious business. And some people don't fear God enough. They don't respect the things of God enough. Well, how far do they get? The Bible says no farther. They'll get no farther. Well, how far do we want to go? It's going to take some change, isn't it? All right. A peculiar people, ha ha ha, beyond the usual. You know, we need to associate with people of like precious faith. Where are you going with this? That's what you need to surround yourself with, is people who are going to the same place. It's hard to run a race when you're going with somebody who's running in a different direction, isn't it? Well, I'm trying to point the place to where we're going. We're going here. Have I ever preached on the glory of the Lord filling the earth? What glory is it? Some other glory? Some shimmering shininess? There may be some shimmering shininess going on, but it's the weight of God's holy and high presence scrubbing the earth as you drag it down the street. Imagine the powder that comes behind this thing. I'm scared, brother. Should I be scared? Answer me, should I be scared? Is the presence of God a scary thing? When we went into the presence of God in the Old Testament, was it a scary thing? I wouldn't want to be the high priest of that year, would you? I mean, you kiss your wife goodbye. You scrub yourself down, you make sure that you did everything you can, but then they tie a rope to your leg. Just in case you don't make it so they can drag you out and you don't stink it up in there. Brother, I don't know. I know. And this is the kind of attitude we have in the church today. We have the body of Christ filled with people who don't know. Don't know what? His first name is holy. He's a holy, powerful, living God. And we say we want to know him. Right? We all say this. But I'm telling you, when he gets closer, it gets scarier. Brother, you're scaring me. I'm scaring myself. 5:19, 2 Corinthians. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world, what? Unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What's the word of reconciliation for? It's to reconcile the world unto something. Unto who? Unto himself. He takes away the sin, but then it's unto himself, and I'm really going to try to get you here today because it means a whole lot more than we thought it meant. Is himself, and I know this is bad English, is himself Jehovah Rapha, the healer? So he's reconciling you unto himself as the healer. Is himself Jehovah Jireh, our provider? He's reconciling you in whatever area of your life that isn't in that, reconciling you unto himself as Jehovah Jireh. The blood does that. The price is paid for. Are you here?
Yes.
And all these other names, many of them I have a hard time with pronouncing. But he's reconciling you unto what? Himself, to dwell in that high and holy place. Did he say it was a mostly high place? Where are we going then? The high place. And he called, is it under anything? It's over everything. He's calling to you to a place, Jane, over everything. Over sickness. It's a holy place when you're over sickness. Over poverty. Over lack. Are you here? Do you see the high part now? He's high and holy, meaning he's not only above it, he's so far removed from it that it doesn't affect him anymore. That's the holiness factor. If I can explain holiness this way, you hear? If I have a glass of water and it's 99.9% pure, except there's some salt in it, is it holy? It still has some corruption in it. Brother, I don't like this message. Well, that's what we're being called to, the refining, purify to himself, purifying you to himself. If there's any poverty, it needs to be purified out unto himself. If there's any sickness, it needs to be purified out unto himself. So the glass of water with a little bit of salt in it, it's not pure. It needs to be refined a little farther, doesn't it? If it's going to be holy water. And that's why, you know, the holy water they sell on TV, it's not holy water. Even if it's from the Holy Land. That's just, they're using the word holy for something it doesn't mean. Holy means refined and purest in purest sense. Like gold, they can only refine it to what? 99.99% pure. And they'll say that. Well, it's 99%. No. Well, what's the other 1%? Impurities. Well, the gold in heaven is what? 100% pure, and you can see through it. That's why I have an idea. If you could refine it to that last degree, take out the purity, you can see right through it. And then you'd lose it. Goodness, where'd it go? I guess we got it too pure. This is going to get good. You guys ready? You might want to put your seatbelt on. So what's God's plan for you? Nothing? Leave you off on the side? Just let you wallow in the mire and die and go to heaven someday? Or is he working on you to purify you? Unto what? Unto himself. Not unto his doctrine. Not unto his whatever. He's purifying you unto himself. And let's ask another question. How is himself? Once again, this is really bad English. He's holy, but how does he live? Does he live above sickness and disease? Does he live above poverty? Is he the head and not the tail? That's where he is. He's purifying us unto himself. And I'm going to show you this. Glory be to God. 26:18. The Lord has avouched thee this day to be his what? Peculiar people. Now, same word. Why is it peculiar? Because it's different than the normal. That's what it means. You've been made above, beyond what's normal. It's peculiar when you see a Rolls Royce driving down the road because it's not really what's normal, is it? And I know I'm using this illustration, but that's tough. Deal with it. If you see a Lamborghini or whatever, we used to see them a lot more down south. Maybe because they don't have the snow and the salt on the roads or whatever. Is it normal? Up here, it's not normal, and you see that. So peculiar doesn't mean weird, like, well, there's a man crawling on his knees and rubbing his belly on the ground, and his back is all hairy, walking down the middle of the... No, that's weird. That's not what he's talking about. This is above the normal, beyond the usual. God is calling you to be beyond the usual, beyond the normal. Are we here? Yes. Is it beyond the normal to not get sick when flu season comes? You even tell the doctor there, well, I haven't been sick for 4 years. They'd be like, what? What kind of health care program are you on? Are you already on the state government-run health care? Must be that. You'd be like, what? I didn't know socialism kicked in already. If you're healed, you don't need the doctor. Do you understand? And the doctors don't really like that. Maybe that's why they give you the flu shot, because at least you're visiting them. Oh, shut up. Goodness. Hallelujah. Beyond the norm. That's beyond the norm. You're beyond the normal when you do that. How did you get beyond the normal? God called you unto himself, Jehovah Rapha. When depression and recession and things like that don't bother you, you are now beyond the normal. You're a peculiar person called unto God, who is Jehovah Rapha. Are you here? And the holiness of that is our ability to stay in that, separate from contaminants and corruption. Are you starting to see this? You're being called unto himself. His name is Jehovah Rapha. He's a healer. You're called to that. His name, and then we're zealous of good works. What kind of good works? Displaying who he is, Jehovah Rapha. Number one display is in your own physical body and in your own finances. You're called to him who is above everything. And then you're called to not only display that, which makes you peculiar to who? To the world, who's not understanding that. And then to reach your hand out and bring other people in. Remember, we have the ministry of reconciliation. Who are we reconciling people to? We're reconciling unto himself. Reconciling unto himself. Making peculiar people. And it's not peculiar in a weird sense that we all, you know, pierce our whatever, our eyebrows or whatever. That's just weird. Why would anybody pierce their eyebrows? Oh. Peculiar unto himself. This is so good, people. Let me read this again. Verse 18, and the Lord has avouched thee this day to be his peculiar people. So is this God's plan? This is his plan. He's saying this. I'm avouching you. He picked you. Peculiar people unto himself. As he has promised thee that thou shouldest keep all his commandments. Verse 19. And to make thee high above all nations which he has made in praise, in name, in honor, that thou mayest be a holy people unto the Lord thy God as he has spoken. Do you see it? He's called you unto himself, which of necessity makes you high above all and holy. This is why people hated the Jews, because they would freely tell them that. You think you're better than we are. No, yeah, that's right. And don't touch me, because I'm holy unto the Lord and I'm better than you. Well, that doesn't go over big, does it? But does it remain the truth today? Is the believer who walks with God in his holiness and his presence in reality, and I'm not saying this to put anybody else, are they better? Are they on a higher place? Are they living a greater life than the people of the world? Does it make them, oh, superior in themselves? No, they're superior in that they're with God. And they've just, now they're showing the way to the other person. Sister superior. Mother superior. Oh, you think you're superior. Well, no, I know I am because of what God said. But it doesn't make me, oh, I think I'm so great, because you can come in too. Right? Because people think, oh, you're just arrogant. You think you're better. No, I know I am because of what God has done. And I'm walking with him and he makes me better. I mean, there's a fine line you have to walk here. And it's certainly not politically correct. I don't know if we've ever been politically correct. And I know that God never has been. In fact, if he walked on the earth, I'm sure they'd kill him. Wait a minute. They did. Glory be to God forever. Go to chapter 28, verse 1. You ready? Yes. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee where? On high, above all nations of the earth. Are we okay with why he's doing this? Because he's pulling people where? To himself and in a holy place. Why is he making them high above all other nations? Because he's called them to himself and he's high above all other nations. He's called them to himself, and himself is the one who has the blessings of healing, has the blessings of keeping people healed, has the blessings of profound, ridiculous prosperity. And if you walk with him, this is the way you're going to walk with him, because this is who he is. He's calling you to himself.
Well, I don't like it that way. I just want to go to church on Sunday.
Tough! At some point, you're going to have to read this and realize this is where God is calling you to himself. Brother, this message is just too strong. Well, I guess we'll just rip it out of the Bible then. God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2. And what? All these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, you remember, back in the Old Testament, they had a specific way that they could do this and they would receive the blessings. Well, in the New Testament, we have a specific way that we use the blood of Jesus and it puts us in right standing with God and we walk by faith and not by sight. And we fulfill the law because we're in the new covenant. Jesus fulfilled the law. He came not to do away with it, but to fulfill it. Now we stand by virtue of Jesus' blood in the fulfillment of all the requirements of the law. But we still have to hearken diligently because we're still following the same God. You understand? And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Ready? Verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city and blessed in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Well, what else is there? You're coming in, you're going out, you're blessed. Your basket, the store, everything you have. You're kind, for goodness sake. Blessed when you come in, blessed when you come out. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies to rise up against thee, to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Is that good news?
Yes.
I'm gonna hope to take you here, but do we have enemies in the church? Is the devil one of our enemies? The Bible says, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We like to divide that verse into two, but the submitting yourself to God is the resisting of the devil. Do you understand? If we're immersed in God, then the devil can't even get in there. Well, what's he saying here? If you're hearkening unto the voice of the Lord your God, well, the enemy's going to come out against you and then flee seven ways. Why? Because you're so great? No, because God's on you. God's blessing is on you, and they're scared of him. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, plural, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord shall establish thee a whole... Wait a minute, you know, and we take this verse out of context and we say, oh, and the Lord will establish you. That's what he's talking about. This is him establishing you a holy people. Blessed coming in, blessed going out. There's no curse in there. Your holiness of blessed. Does that make sense? Your holiness in him. You have the best. You are the best. You think the best. You talk the best. No sickness and disease can come on you and stay. Holiness unto the Lord. I'm hoping that beyond today will be when we'll start saying holiness unto the Lord. What does that mean? We're made holy unto himself. We're submitted unto him, and he is healing. He is prosperity. He is holiness. He is separation from sin. Because remember, sin is the only way it had a way to get in. And if you're holy unto him, there's no way. You're blessed coming in, blessed coming out. Jesus is Lord. He will establish thee a holy people unto himself by all of these things he just said. As he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And what? All the people of the earth shall see. Now listen, what have we been preaching? The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. All the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name... Hallelujah. But of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of who? Of you? Why would they be afraid of you? Because you're walking with God, and he's in manifestation, and you're now walking in the high and holy place with him. Say, high and holy place.
High and holy place.
Are you seeing this high and holy place a little better? We have to commit to getting there because it's not always easy, is it? Because the church is so full of compromise. Well, if I can get it this way, why do I have to go that way? Because it's God's way. It may cost more, but when we get there, it will be high and holy, and the blessing of the Lord makes what? Rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. What kind of rich is that? That's holy. That's high and holy rich. Is that all right? Does it cost something to get there? It, number one, cost Jesus his blood. Did Jesus' blood pay for you for the ability to get there? Absolutely. Now we have to pay the price to walk and live the life to be purified and drawn unto himself, which is the high and holy place. Hallelujah. Brother, this is a strong message. Who can hear it? You. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is where? From above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That's what I wanted you to see. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Why would that be? Because he's holy. How much poverty is in heaven?
None.
How much sickness is in heaven? How much sin is in heaven? So the things that come down from the Father of lights, it's perfect. Then there's no variableness. There's no shadow of turning. Well, if he's calling you to himself, is he going to turn away from that and require something else? No. That's why the message is always this. It's always full bore on with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's like everything. Yeah, that would be everything. Why did he say that? Because that's the only way that you can partake of his holiness and walk with him. And he's a scary living God. That's not a seeker-friendly message. Come meet God, he'll scare you. Have you ever been next to something that just scared you because it was so big? Sharon used to talk about, you know, getting next to the... She'd get next to a big building, like a skyscraper. We'd be down in Boston or whatever. She said she wouldn't look up because she felt like if she looked up, it would suck her up because the wind would be... You know how wind whips around big buildings like that? So she thought... And really, it was the bigness of the structure, the largeness of the structure that was scary. It was so big, it's scary. God is so big, he's scary. His power is so big, it's scary. Remember that the Jews, when they wanted, Moses was going up on the mountain. The glory of God's up on the mountain. And their horns and thunders and fire, the mountain's on fire. And Moses is like, okay, let's go up. I'm like, I don't think so. You go up, you go talk to him. We'll do what you say, but you talk to him. Bible says Moses exceedingly feared and trembled. Why? From what? The glory of God. It was the glory of God. And so to take this lightly and say, oh, yes, we're believing for the glory, 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 believing for the... What happened to you guys? Y'all come out charcoaled. Glory. He says that he dwells in the high and holy place with him also who is what? Ground to powder, basically. Look at that word up. Look it up. That's what it means. Brother, I don't like this. Ground to powder? What kind of message is this? It means that there's nothing left of you. Do you understand? When you get close to God, there's nothing really left of you. Just leave it. It's stupid anyway. Haven't you been there? You get in the presence of God and you're like, brother, am I a worthless piece of junk anyway? And you're not. We know that. You're made the righteousness of God, but in proximity to something so great, you know? It's like, you know, if I could think of a great piece of artwork, a Monet or something. Yeah, whatever. I'm trying to use an illustration here. Okay? A great piece of artwork, and then you put your little doodle that you drew on a napkin up next to it. Does it compare? Is anybody going to buy yours for the $8 million that they would have to pay to get the other one? No. And is anyone going to hang it up on, you know, with glass in an environmentally sealed case and stand a guard next to it who will shoot you if you try to poke it? No, it's a napkin, and it's a doodle, and I don't even know what it is. Is that a dog? Is that a cat? What is that? Do you understand? That's what we feel like in relative comparison with the power and holiness of God. It's mind-blowing that God is calling us to this kind of lifestyle. It's to make you weep and cry and shake. Do you see what I'm saying? The power and presence of God is so holy and strong. His wealth is so holy and strong that there is no corruption there. It is scary in its magnitude. It's scary in its bigness. Golden Gate Bridge would be another one that I could pick on Sharon over. She was going to walk over it with some friends, and she got up on it, and she realized how high it was, and then realized the thing is moving. And you're really high up, and it's really big. The sheer magnitude of it is scary. What God are we serving? See, this is the thing. We've been serving a puny, once saved, always saved God. Happy, clappy, religious bunk. Bunk. When God is almighty, and he's calling people, he says, I'm going to put you above all so that you're my representative now. Are we the representatives of Christ? Do we know that? We're supposed to represent God. Well, we must be above all. David said to Solomon, he said, the house of the Lord must. It must be of exceeding greatness, of fame throughout all the lands. Why? Because it represented God. And you can go as far with this as you want. And I'm telling you, I don't care how far you think you're going to go with it. When you get in God's presence, he's going to say, oh, it's a lot farther than you thought. It's beyond what we can think. Beyond. Mind-blowingly so. Every good gift, every perfect. What kind of gift? Shabby gift? Semi-perfect, sort of good, just doesn't run unless, you know. No, it's perfect. What would that mean? Could we apply two words here, high and holy? It came from the high place, and it's holy, it's perfect. There's no darkness in it, and he even says that. Comes down from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do we know who we're serving? Do we know who our Father is? This is your Father. He's really big. All right, go back to Deuteronomy 28:12. And the Lord shall open, who?
The Lord.
The Lord. Now, do we understand a little bit more about who we're talking about? The Lord shall open unto who? Unto thee, his good treasure. Can we even handle this, people? If the Lord, the high and holy one, opens unto us his good treasure, we better be ready for it. That's why he said in Malachi, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, and it'll be so much you can't even contain it all. And we're like, yeah, I don't know what that means. That's what it means. It's more than we can handle because he is so high and so holy. And I don't care what vision you've had for your life, God's vision for you is exceeding measure beyond that. But it's only, we'll never see it until we start bumping up against him. And his vision becomes our vision. His holiness becomes our vision. His plan, his power becomes our power. And guess what we are at that point? Powder. We're dust. Hallelujah. Can he do more than we can do? Well, he can put together a great plan, but when he comes on the scene, he just does more in a flat day than we've ever done or even thought about doing. I'm excited about it. Remember, suddenly, on the day of Pentecost, and suddenly, within that same day, they had 3,000 people. Suddenly. But it was suddenly. Wham! I'm telling you, and I'm scared. Because we've been preaching something, praying something, prophesying something, going down this trail, and God is starting to hear it. Not only is he hearing it, he's starting to reveal things of ways of himself. There's always a forerunner, you know. Whenever God does something supernatural, there's always a forerunner. Somebody who says it, someone who speaks it, and then the people just walk into it, and then suddenly, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Whose good treasure?
His.
What kind of treasure is it?
Good.
It's good. And it's his good treasure. Is this a good treasure?
Yeah.
I come in, you can go over to my house. I'll show you some pretty good stuff. Come over to your house. I'm sure you got some good stuff. Let's see your good stuff. You go over to God's house.
Hallelujah.
Has he got any stuff?
Yes.
Is it good?
Yes.
Who's he going to open up to? Maybe we don't understand this. Who's he going to open up this treasure to? Is this the word? Is he going to open up to you his good treasure?
Yes.
Don't tell me this isn't the good news. My goodness. Hallelujah. He shall open to thee his good treasure, the rain to give the rain unto the land in his season, to bless the works of thine hand, to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt what?
Lend to many
what?
Nations.
Oh, come on. Thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Do you see the word holiness in this at all? Holiness of wealth. Lending and not borrowing. Why? Because it's God's good treasure. Lending and not borrowing. It came from him, the Father of lights. There is no shadow of turning. What, did God go to start borrowing now? Verse 13. And the Lord shall make thee what? The head and not the... Who shall make thee? Yourself in the might of your own hand? He goes on to say that in verse 17, that you don't know it. In chapter 8, verse 17, he says, no, it's not the might of your own hand. It's the Lord who makes you the head and not the tail. Look at the next. Above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Why must you be above only? Why is it required of you? Because he's above only. You're required to be above only and never beneath. Now, wherever you're at, do you understand? God is calling you to himself, and he is above only and not beneath. He's a lender only and not a borrower. He's calling you to himself, the high and holy place. It's always been his plan. Now we have power to bring it to pass, when before all they had was laws and regulations. Does it take a commitment to get there? And what's the commitment? To walking with the Most High God. And when he says change, change, my goodness. He's just setting you up for something else. Get rid of your whatever it is, your pride, until we're just powder, basically. Who cares? You gonna hold on to your powder? It's my powder. No. Hold on to him. Let him become your all in all, and he'll put you in the high and holy place. Chapter 28, verse 47. It's talking about if you don't do this, then all the curses are going to come on you. Verse 47, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for what? The abundance of all things. We have a large amount of the body of Christ is serving God for something other than what he has. He has the abundance of all things. Get it in your consciousness. Get it in your plan of where you're going. Brother, this message is too strong. No, it's not. This has always been his plan, to have you the head and not the tail. Above only above and not beneath. And you serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all that he has blessed you with. If not, there's going to be a measure of curse in there. Why? Because what is that? That's holiness again. You're being called unto himself with the abundance of all good things. Where do you think the church is going? The last day church. Right, when it's the bride, when Jesus comes back for them, they're going to be above only. The last thing, the last enemy to be put under their foot is death. The last enemy, which means all the other enemies are going to be where? Under their foot. What is God doing? Making them above only. We could be the above only church. AboveOnly.com. Above only ministries. Always causing me to triumph. Only, always, always above. Only. What about when the bills come in? I'm below the bills. No, I'm above them. Above only. What about sickness? I'm above only, not beneath. What is that? That's holiness. You're serving the Lord your God. You're serving him with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all that he has for you. Brother, it always seems like there's more required of me. No, you'd be wrong. There's all required of you. He started out that way. Serve the Lord your God with what? And his message has never changed. Why? Because he's calling you to himself. Serve the Lord your God with joy, with all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your soul. Well, there's nothing left of me then. Exactly. Finally. Get rid of that nasty mess. In comparison, of course, we understand, in comparison to his greatness. Why do we want to hold on to something? Do you want to hold on to your bank account when he's offering you his? And all you have to do is release it? But you can't pick his up if you still got yours or holding on to it. You ready? Ha, 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 ha. Hallelujah, I'm getting ready. And we're going on with this. What if there's nothing left of me? Well, probably won't be. Our God's a consuming fire. We have to let our pride go and let all these other things go. But we have to trust that when we step into him, it's going to be much better. And he will have a greater possibility, a greater way, a greater provision, a greater health than what we can do by our own, you know, vitamin program or whatever we're on. And I'm not against vitamins or exercise. Well, you look like it. Oh, stop it. What sickness can stand in the presence of God? None. What ignorance can stand in the presence of God? None. Be good, right? You get in his presence, your ignorance flees. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Light. We understand that light in one way is enlightenment. Well, when his light comes into you, what flees? Your stupidity, the thing you thought about before, which is just worthless and a waste of time. But now God's light shines on you and you're called to himself in the high and holy place. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. It would have been fine if he had just stopped right there, because then we could have just put it off into religious world and said, yes, I am holy as he is holy. But he didn't say that. He said, in all manner of conversation. Conversation is living. The way we live, Lynn, is holy. As he is holy. Well, how does God live? Do you remember how we began this? How does God live? Pretty shabbily? Pretty sickly? Every good gift and every perfect gift, no shadow of turning, above only, never beneath, exceeding great. We live exceeding great. We live above only and not beneath. We always win, never fail. That's a holy success record. As he which has called you is what? Holy. Now, what does holy mean? Separate from sin, separate from corruption, separate from anything that corrupts, contaminates, or influences. He's not even influenced by sin. He's not even influenced by poverty. You know, let me make a quick correction here. This is one reason why God doesn't go and try to fill a need. Otherwise, he'd be influenced by the need. He'd be following the devil around. If the devil could make somebody poor and God has to come and fill the need, he doesn't go that way. He's not going around trying to fill needs. He's requiring us to follow him. We leave our lack and come to his abundance. We leave our sickness and come to his healing. And what conversation now are we living? Holy conversation. We're in a holy conversation with God. Our life is a holy conversation with God. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God forever. I will stop there. I hope that blessed you this morning. We're not nearly done with this, as you can see. We got a long ways to go in the body of Christ. And yet it's a very short way. It's a very short distance. You know what I mean? Because God's right there with us all the time when we know this. But we need to have a greater understanding of who God is so that when we walk with him, we're walking with him. Now, I'm excited about it. Anybody getting anything out of it? Anybody starting to have a greater understanding and revelation of what kind of life and what kind of people we're supposed to be? Peculiar. We're peculiar, which means above and beyond the normal. Brother, you're not normal. You're peculiar. But it shouldn't, you know, and it shouldn't be in that, like, we're just weird. We're not just pushing the weirdness. Sometimes we do weird things, but people don't understand. But we're not pushing the weirdness aspect of it. We're pushing the holiness aspect of it. That we are above reproach. That we're above sin. That we're above lack. that we're above sickness. We're above because we've joined ourselves to his holiness and his highness. So the ladies are the highnesses. And that makes the men I don't know what. Princes maybe or something. Are we not called kings and priests unto God? Are we not separate? And many times the Bible does talk about separating yourself. So, I mean, a lot of this you can't just put on me. I'm doing the same thing. And when God starts showing up in your room and revealing himself unto you and how big he is and how holy he is, well, you're going to be scared too. The Bible says the fear of the Lord. Back in the book of Acts, remember? And I'm not so sure. I've heard people go, well, we're all trying to go back to the book of Acts, which, you know, in one way it makes sense, but in another way it doesn't, because they were just a baby church. They didn't have the word. So we should be going beyond that. Do you understand? We should have grown up to a place, but it's still going to be the former and the latter reign. It's still going to be that same power. Did God change? It's still going to be the same holiness of God, his holy terror that comes on the church. And back then, they had multitudes added, but back then, people were scared to come over and join themselves with them. Why? Because the glory of God was there, and they were scared of it. Do you think the people, it said that, they were scared. Everyone feared. Everyone in the church feared. I guarantee you, before they came to the meeting, they cleaned themselves up and got ready. Well, I don't want to clean myself and get ready to go to church. And go to Bumble Church down the street. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to. You can live in sin, and they accept it.
Because we accept everyone.
We accept everyone, but then they have to change. Because if we got to change, you got to change. We're all changing. Ready? Let's change. We're all changing. From what? Glory to glory. From one weightiness to the next weightiness. Right? From the next weightiness. And at some point, it's too much. It'll squish you. You talk about watches. There's certain watches that can go down to like 100 feet. And then they implode and they get full of water. And some watches you can take down to 1,000 feet. Those will be dive watches. But they're designed to take the pressure. There's certain submarines that are designed to go down certain depths, and if they go too far, they implode like a can being crushed. Why? Because the weight of 100 meters of water pushing down. Have you ever felt water? Have you ever felt a bucket of water, like a gallon bucket of water? It's pretty heavy. Can you imagine how much the ocean weighs? If one bucket of water, stack 10 buckets of water on top of yourself and put your foot underneath it. Ow. Right? That's pressure. You ever divin? Have you divin? Have you divin lately? I haven't divin in a while. I don't even know what you're talking about. But you dive down in a pool that's like 12 feet deep, and your ears are like, stop it. But you do that over and over again, and by the end of the summer, guess what? 12 feet's nothing. Hey, let's go to the deep end of the pool, to 15 foot deep. And you have these guys that'll dive for pearls and stuff, and they'll go down like 100 feet with nothing in their ears or nose or what, and they're just crazy, I guess. I don't know. But they've been accustomed to it. They're accustomed to the pressure, and from what I understand, and I don't know, I've never done it, but you get addicted to that pressure, and they just don't like being out where there's just regular atmospheric pressure. They want a regular pressure. They get addicted to it. They want it. I gotta have it. It's the same thing with the glory. And it's going to get heavier and stronger and more profound and heavier. And you like it and you get addicted to it and you want more. Yes. Bring on the weight. And I was in my prayer time. I was good. I certainly didn't want that weight that was sitting next to me to come over and sit on me. It was scary. Is God scary? His weight and his power, we need to reverence and fear the living God, because it's only when we can come to fear his greatness and his power that we will be able to respect it and walk with it. You have a handgun or something in your house, what do you tell you? You try to get your children to respect it before you let them touch it, because it's got power. And it could kill the dog. And it's only when we respect the greatness of his power in his presence, him showing up. You know, do we talk about this? We talk about God coming, yes, the Lord God coming and staying. Do we even know the severity of that? Maybe we don't. I don't think we do. I mean, I say it because I believe that's the direction we're supposed to go in, and I do say it. But to have God come and sit on us and abide with us for a period of time, it is a huge, massive responsibility, and the effects of something like that is going to shake everything. And it'll, number one, it'll shake our lives to the foundation. It'll shake this whole community. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to it. But we need to deal with this with the seriousness that goes beyond where we've been. Me too, personally. You all right? Like I said, it takes a commitment to get there. Well, I don't know if I want to go there. Well, that's where we're going. I'm not going to back up the train now. We're going some other direction. This thing is starting to pick up speed, and at some point you can't get off it without getting hurt. Do you understand? It's okay to get on the train when it's just going boom, da boom, da boom. You know, and the door's open. You can go, hey, let's jump on here and we'll ride up to Wiscasset or something. I don't know. But when that thing starts chugging at 50, 60 miles an hour, you're not just going to jump on it, and you're not going to get off it without getting hurt. Well, this is the train, and this is the way it's going, and I'm getting scared. But it's a good scare. Dude, that's right. It's a good fear. Is the fear of the Lord good? It's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We can do this. We can do this, but we're going to have to maintain that fear. That'll teach us how to walk the right way, and God will be able to put us into that position. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the wonderful responsibility that it is to be your people and to be above only and not beneath. I'm asking you to help us, Lord God. Help us, change us, open our eyes that we may see the greatness of your plan, that it is so far beyond anything we've ever even asked or thought. And we worship you, we give you glory and praise, and I thank you for your goodness unto us. I ask that you change us, cleanse us, draw us to yourself, and purify us to yourself, a holy, peculiar people, zealous of good works. In Jesus' name, amen.